My friends, in Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus. Our reading today from the first epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians, where Paul tackles the subject of spiritual gifts in the 12th chapter. And especially we want to consider these words. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. This is God's Word. Please be seated. Well, so as we started out this morning, I was asked the question, what does a passage about spiritual gifts have to do with the season of Epiphany? Well, the word Epiphany means to shine forth or to show forth, as our banners up here in the front imply. And of course, that which the Father wants to show forth is none other than His blessed Son, His gift to the world at Christmas. Epiphany is the season in which it comes to light just what an incredible gift God has really given us. Christ is the light that pierces the darkness of this sad and pitiful existence of ours. And the greater exposure He receives, the more His gospel is broadcast, the more His fame spreads, the more His light is turned up, and the more the darkness is chased away. Thomas Edison, the inventor of the light bulb, said, "I never perfected an invention that I did not think about in terms of the service it might give to others." Well, if the light bulb is Edison's workmanship created to serve by giving light to others, then you and I are God's workmanship created to serve by giving the light of Jesus Christ to others. The question is how? And that's where spiritual gifts come in. But let's back up just a moment. You see, where Christ is not present, where His epiphany is not happening, there it is lights out. There is spiritual darkness and ignorance. The Corinthian Christians, Paul says, before they were epiphanied, if that's a word, before the light turned on for them in Christ, they had been led astray to the worship of idols, Paul says. And the Greek verb there for led astray is more than just casually wandering off of the path. The word means to be forcefully carried away, and that's the language that the King James translation uses. They were carried away, like the American GIs on the Bataan Death March. The Christians were carted off by, or the Corinthians, I should say, were carted off by powerful forces of evil that led them along a path of idolatry that led them only to death. And still that enemy is at work in our lives and in the church to try to carry us away and lead us astray on a death march of idol worship. And they have plenty of accomplices in this endeavor. My goodness, there are idols all around us undermining the epiphany of our Lord and holding people in abject darkness. There are the mute kinds of idols that Paul speaks about. You know, the kind that don't speak. Like that little 6-inch green idol that you have, you know, the rectangular one that's folded up in your wallet or purse. That idol of steel and plastic and rubber and composites that we drive around in to get from place to place. Or that big box of concrete and wood that you live in. Even though these things cannot speak or do anything for us of eternal value, yet they become more important to us than the living, speaking God of our salvation. They become to us mute idols. And then there are the kind of idols that do speak, which are perhaps even more dangerous, like the very people you live with at home. They are created beings, and yet so often they get more of your love and attention and respect than the God who created them. And we make idols out of our family members. Or it's the Jehovah's Witness knocking on your front door, trying to sell you on a Jesus that they have demoted to something less than God. Or it is your so-called friend who is pressuring you to respect them and to follow them and imitate them more than you revere your God. Anyone who diminishes the influence of Christ in your life, anyone who darkens his epiphany, is an idol. Who says, in effect, Jesus is accursed. You listen to me instead. And where that happens, it's lights out. But where God is present, where Christ is being shown forth to the world by the Holy Spirit as the world's Savior, there it's lights on. There the Holy Spirit is sparking faith. There the Holy Spirit is prompting the confession of our lips. Jesus is Lord. You know, faith in Christ is very much like the light coming on. Because apart from Jesus, as we said, there's only ignorance about God, about who He is and how He feels about us and what He wants for us. But now in Christ, we clearly see that God is loving and gracious and amazingly forgiving and patient with His people. I once was blind, but now I see. Now I see the cross where grace went all out for you and me. Where love stopped at nothing to serve you and to save you and to redeem you. Where nails and thorns and spears as the weapons of hatred instead became instruments of the most perfect love we have ever known. The love that lights up our lives. It's lights on with Jesus. It's lights on. But there's still more, you see. Life with Christ is not like a one-way bulb that's either on or off. Life with Christ is more like a three-way bulb, I would suggest to you. Back to the beginning, by nature, life starts in darkness of mind and spirit until that first click of the switch when the Holy Spirit calls us by the gospel and we are baptized into Christ and the light first comes on. But your light, or more properly, the light of Jesus Christ shining through you, your light burns even more brightly with the second click of the switch, when through the Word and the Sacrament and through growth in Christian faith and love, the Holy Spirit equips you with His gifts. What did we read in verse 4? There are various gifts, but the same Spirit. Perhaps you've even seen a symbol of the Holy Spirit descending as a dove, very much like your bulletin cover this morning. But around Him are seven burning lamps, representing the sevenfold gifts of the Holy Spirit. Seven meaning all of His gifts. And there are many gifts of the Holy Spirit. Some of them are listed in our text. The ability to effectively share wisdom and knowledge of a spiritual nature with other people. Or a particularly strong and courageous faith that does not yield to the spirit of the culture or waver in trial and is such an inspiration to other people. Or the ability to be a healing agent of God, or to speak on God's behalf, or the ability of the gift of good judgment, of being able to discern what is of God and what is not, and knowing how to act on that. And there are many other gifts that are listed as well in other places, not here. The gift of teaching, the gift of appropriately being able to exhort others when they are wrong, the gift of generosity, the gift of mercy, of cheerfulness, of being able to comfort somebody. He enlightens all of us with these gifts. Again, we read in verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. But now let's really turn the lights up. Let's click that switch the third time. Let's crank up the wattage on your life in Christ. You know, do you know when Christ's light burns the brightest in you? It is when the gift of the Holy Spirit in you is actually put to use to serve someone else. He gives us these gifts, Paul says, for the common good. Do you have the gift, the ability to comfort somebody in their sorrow? Do you have the ability of strong faith to stand against the currents of our culture? Do you have the ability to bring a healing to somebody's heart or body, to speak on God's behalf, to exhort somebody who's wrong, to be generous when generosity is needed? Do you have those gifts? You all have something from the Holy Spirit. But those gifts of the Holy Spirit, if they are not used, are like food and medicine and water supplies sitting on the airport tarmac while the people that those supplies are supposed to be helping are still coping without those things. And that's not a criticism. You know what I'm talking about. That's not a criticism of the relief effort in Haiti. It's just something many people have observed. It is hard to get into Port-au-Prince to help those poor victims of the earthquake. May God speed to them the aid that they need. But what I am saying is that there is in this room a mountain of gifts given by the Holy Spirit to you that are supposed to be used in service to others. And when we finally do that, that switch clicks the third time and our light burns the brightest. You know, one thing I've noticed in all of this coverage of the Haiti earthquake is the positive coverage that Christians are getting. Well, except, of course, for Pat Robertson and his absolutely inane comment that he made. But by and large, the news media is speaking very positively of Christians who were in Haiti as missionaries, living with the people, suffering with them, dying with them. And of course, of all the Christian relief agencies who are trying to rush help to these desperate people. They speak positively of us. Can you imagine that? Because you see, Christ burns most brightly in us and through us when the rubber hits the road, when your faith gets active, and when you put that gift of the Holy Spirit in you, in use to serve somebody else. So that even those who usually hate Christ and His people must now stand up and take notice. They usually like to say we're hypocrites. And to an extent we all are. No one can practice perfectly what we preach. And they seize on that to criticize us. But what can they say when our love is active in works? When faith rolls up its sleeves and gets going to serve somebody else? How can they reproach us then? Your light burns most brightly when you use your gift to serve. And they will know that we are Christians by the confession of our lips, Jesus is Lord, and by our love. The more you use the gift of the Holy Spirit in you, the brighter is Christ's epiphany in this world. And that's the connection between spiritual gifts and epiphany. God's glory, His light, shines brightest through you when the Spirit's gift in you does not just sit on the tarmac somewhere, but when it actually is used for the common good. So let your light so shine before men, Jesus said, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. In the name of Christ, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.